message will be on the subject of rest. Rest. And rest is probably something that in a busy American culture is something that's continually on our minds, especially think of young parents. I remember when Devette and I had young children, you kind of live at least in a mode of life where you're never really asleep, but you're never really awake. You just kind of live in a muddled middle somewhere in between coherent and incoherent. And you're always clamoring and hoping and desiring that rest. But with that the case, probably any stage in our life, we find ourselves busy and we think continually about rest. How can we get enough rest? What is rest? Even though we think about it often, truth is that we find rest to be something that is continually elusive. And at times it can be somewhat confusing. We think about rest, and maybe this is the case in your life. Certainly it's been the experience in my life at times where there's been times when I've been extremely busy. My schedule's been full, but I feel very rested. Then there's been other times where you go on vacation, you think that the ceasing of everything that you're doing, you just need a break, you go on vacation, you spend the money, you take the time, you've done all of the planning, and you find that while you're on vacation, you're at a complete state of unrest. You just can't even rest while you're on vacation. The times that idea of rest can be elusive to us and somewhat confusing. Experiences like this teach us something, though. They teach us that there is more to rest than just the stopping of work in our lives. There's more to rest. There's more to the soul being at peace and being at rest than just either not having a lot of work or being on vacation. So we'll listen to God on this matter today from Genesis chapter 2 as we look at this idea of rest. What really is rest? We're told that God rested. Does that mean that he ceases all activity, that God is no longer doing anything? And if God rests and invites us into that, what does that look like? Can we truly in our lives have rest apart from God? If we leave him out of the equation, can we truly have rest in this life or the next? This will be the subject of our message here today. Just by way of review, those of you that have been with us on Sunday mornings, we're going through the book of Genesis. We're looking at why the beginning and the start of humanity is so helpful and necessary for us today. Knowing where we came from, why we're here, who put us here, helps us live our life with purpose. Helps us know that we have a God in heaven that we are to serve and enjoy, one that has blessed us beyond measure, one that has made us in his image, distinctly different from all other created beings on this planet, one that we understand then that we have personality so that we can be in relationship with him. And so we're coming to the close of creation week, and what we'll find is that on day 7, we're told that God rested. God had completed a full work week, and he ceases from all of his activities. We were told in Genesis chapter 1, God made, and it was always with the refrain, and it was good. God made, and it was good. God made, and it was good. And he comes to the conclusion, his crowning jewel of creation, man and woman, humanity, and it says, God did this, and it was very good. One great lesson that we've learned along the way in Genesis 1 so far is this, that God created the world and everything in it means that life is not just a random game where we make up the rules, and then when we die, everything is meaningless. And to be honest, a lot of people on this earth live life in that way. Life has no real purpose and meaning. There's no divine creator that made anything. We'll make the rules up as we go along, and when we die, everything is meaningless. What a hopeless existence that is. It's not the way it was intended. It's not the way God has stated it. It's not the way God started it. And so we go back to the beginning to look at what is our life supposed to mean and be today so that we know who we are and we know whose we are. We are God's creation, made in his image. One of the things that we'll find as we march through Genesis 1, chapter 1, and Genesis 2, as we begin to see this very clear standard of the way God made this thing and the way it was supposed to be. And we're constantly, as we look in 2021, this year, as we look and we measure the life that we know it with the standard that God made it, we're constantly bent with the tension of, then what's happened? What went wrong? How could God have made all of this and say it's good, it's very good? How could all of it be perfect? How could God have rested and invite us into his rest? And the things that we experience and the life that we know is quite different from that. We'll answer that question today as well. But God doesn't leave us in a heap of unrest, brothers and sisters. Not only did he do the work of creation, he did the work of salvation. Not only did he do the work of creation and says, enter into my rest. We sinned and disrupted all of the order of the earth, but God said he will also do the work of salvation, invites us into his rest once again through Jesus Christ. What an amazing story is the story of the Bible. What an amazing story is the story of the gospel. God did the work. He rested. He invites us into his rest. God did the work of salvation. It is finished, Jesus said at the cross, and he invites us into his rest of salvation. It's a wonderful story. It's a wonderful reality. It's a wonderful invitation for you and me to find rest for our weary souls. The church theologian Augustine said this, that the heart is restless until it finds rest in the Lord. If you're a Christian today, you know that to be true, that your heart was restless on this weary earth until it found rest in Jesus Christ. So this is what we've been traveling through on Sunday mornings, Genesis 1 and 2, the beginning for today, how it all started, where it has gone wrong, where we are now, and where we are headed with the Lord Jesus Christ, who invites us in to salvation rest forevermore. Here's the title for today's message, The Rest That God Takes and Gives. This is day 7. What kind of rest does God take when it says that he rested? What does that mean? But then more importantly for us, what about this rest that he gives? What does he offer in rest? So the rest that God takes and the rest that God gives. Before we get into our points, let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 serves as a bridge between all that's taken place in chapter 1 and what will now take place in chapter 2. It's a bit of a hinge verse. So let's look at it and see how it brings together all that we've been studying on Sunday mornings and will launch us forward into today's text. Genesis 2, verse 1 says this, Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. This verse really should be at the end of chapter 1. It is a bookend of how chapter 1 began. Genesis 1:1 says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, Now the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. It is the bookends of all of God's creative activity, all of the work to spin the stars out of, as the psalmist said, out of the ends of his fingers. When it said that God created light, and he created the fish and in the birds in the sky, and he created the animals, and he created plant life, and he created humanity, and all of this work that he had been doing of creation, it now says that he has finished, that it is done. That work of creation is completed. And so this verse acts as a hinge from the 6 days of work to now the 7th day that we're going to see that God rested from that work. It's just a wonderful thought here as we think about this. As we go back to the thought last week that God did all of this and he said, Behold, it was very good. To think that God was a satisfied God with the work that he had finished. He was completely satisfied with it. Did his work, finished his work, stood back as a master craftsman and said, It is finished. And he was totally satisfied in it. You know, as you search the pagan religions of the world, you'll find that a common theme runs through all of them, and that is a dissatisfied deity. Some kind of God that sits in heaven that is angry, that somehow people have to appease him through their the cutting of their bodies or the giving away of all that they have. That God is somehow a disjointed, disgruntled, unsatisfied God that is angry at this earth and angry at humanity. We find here in the opening pages of the scriptures that this is anything but the God that we serve. He's a God that through his power and his glory created the world and all that was in it. He rests. He said it is very good. He was satisfied in all that he had made. And then he turned this blessed earth over to man and woman, and he said, subdue it. He said to steward it well. It is yours as you do this in relationship with me. It's a wonderful thought, just as we come to the other bookend, the close of all of God's work of creation week. And it says at the end of verse 1 that this was finished, and all the host of them, the host of them was organized like soldiers are in an army. All of everything that God had made was orderly and satisfying to him. Now we come to the second verse, and here we'll find our first point for today's message, though, as we consider this rest that God both took after his creation was finished and also the rest that he gives. We find this first point here in verse 2, that God rested means that he finished his creation activity and was completely and perfectly satisfied in it. Look with me at Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. On the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. There's a very clear emphasis in these first couple of verses of Genesis chapter 2. It's repeated three times. The very clear emphasis is this, that God had rested from his work. It's repeated again and again. Now, it doesn't mean that God then just decided to sit on his hands. It doesn't mean that God has been doing nothing ever since. In fact, there are plenty of passages in Scripture that speak of God working, that his ongoing work continues. It's just no longer his creative work of making the planets and the stars and the animals and the hosts and all that is in them. Psalm 121 said that God never sleeps nor slumbers. The reason that we know that God keeps us and that he is a trustworthy God is because he never sleeps. There's never a time where he shuts off of the outside world and goes to sleep and isn't active in protecting his people and sustaining the world. We know that Jesus in John chapter 5 said this, "My Father is working and I am working up till now." So this resting doesn't mean all complete shut off of everything that God was doing. It simply means that he rested from his work of creation. So God put the hammer down, if you will. He called it a wrap on his global job site of making the planets, the earth, and all that is in it. The seventh day then became this commemoration of God's finishing of his work, or the commemoration of this rest. Everything was perfect and in perfect working order. Everything was in harmony. As I thought about this, I was thinking about maybe a brand new vehicle that rolls off of the assembly line, where the engine is purring just as it should, all of the windows and the electronics work just as they should. And a car in perfect working order, you like to get into it and have that new car smell. That's quite different from a 10-year-old vehicle that has 200,000 miles, and maybe most of the stuff works, and there's only a little bit of black smoke coming out of the tailpipe. It's kind of puttering down the road at times. That is not the picture of the earth when God was finished with it. It was perfectly done in perfect harmony, just as God had created it. Also, as I mentioned before, God is completely satisfied with this. There are no adjustments that need to be made. There's no tweaking that needs to be done. I don't know if it's this way around your house or where you live. There's always tweaking and adjustments that need to be made. I had a dripping faucet in our bathroom a couple of months ago. I fixed it. it dripped again. I wanted to tear it out, but I realized that would be more work, so we'll just be patient with it. But there's always something that is groaning that we work with that is not completely satisfied, is not completely finished. Here it is. God didn't stand back on the seventh day and say, I didn't like the way that turned out. Needs some adjustment here. Needs a little bit of grease over here to make that run better. It is perfect. A perfect God, perfectly created, and was perfectly satisfied. This is the world in which God made. And so he rested, having finished this work. It gets better. God doesn't just rest in his work. We'll see the second point here in verse 3. He invites his creation into his rest. Isn't it amazing to think that humans were not made on day one and somehow participated in the work that God had done? But instead, God did all of the work first. Humans come on the scene, and what are we now invited into? We're not invited into the work of God. We are invited into the rest that God gives. Let's look at verse 3, and here we notice the second point, that God rested means he invited all of creation to join in with him in the blessing and the holiness of his rest. Genesis 2, verse 3 says this, so God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. There's some subtle but very important things going on here in verse 3. First, we see that God blessed this day. You know, up till now, God had declared a couple of blessings on things. On the fifth day, he blessed the fish and the birds, and he said, your blessing will mean that you will fill the skies. Your blessing will mean that you will fill the seas. This was a blessing of repetition. On day 6, he blessed humans. These blessings that he had blessed on living creatures and living things meant that they would be multiplying and filling the earth. We talked about how even the population of birds being about 50 billion on the planet, and the population of fish even being all the way to the depths of the sea, so that the seas swarm with swarms of fish. When God blesses something, he blesses it, and it is blessed all the way. God blesses these living things. But isn't this interesting? On day 7, when God blesses time, it's not a living thing. It's not a living creature. God blesses time. More specifically, he blesses restful time. And this time of rest was to flourish. Just as birds would flourish in population, just as fish would flourish in population, just as humans would flourish in population, God would bless the seventh day, bless this day of rest, this time, and it would flourish. Secondly, we notice he made it holy. He separated it out, and he set it aside as a special commemoration. He set it aside and made it holy because, we need to catch this very carefully, because this is how his creation was supposed to enjoy his masterpiece and his work. Brothers and sisters, do we realize that if scriptural history ended right here, humans would still be in the perfect state, the blessed state of rest with God in all of his creation? That when he blessed the seventh day, the day of rest, and he invited all of creation in it, we would still be in that wonderful state of rest with God in all things by trusting in him forevermore. And did you notice one more thing missing in this seventh day that is present in days 1 through 6, but is missing here in day 7? What is missing is this. The verse does not end with the refrain, there was evening and morning the third day, or there was evening and morning the fourth day, and so on. All of the first 6 days of creation end with this refrain, there was evening and there was morning this day. The seventh day, there's no refrain. God rests and he leaves it open. There's no evening on the day of rest. The sun does not set on God's rest. It's an ongoing and eternal rest that is to be enjoyed by his creation. God's finished creation, humming along in perfect harmony, is to be forever enjoyed in peace and rest by his creatures. And do we have that standard in our mind for just a moment? It's beautiful, isn't it? It's a beautiful thought. It's a wondrous thought. It's maybe even a longing thought in our hearts of what is this? God made perfectly, and it was to continue perfectly forevermore. But that's not where we are. We experience life with much unrest. It causes us to beg the question, what went wrong? Why do we have funerals? Why do we visit hospitals? Why do we have days of depression? Why do our bodies groan and moan as though there is something better and more? Why do we desire a fountain of youth? Why do we have broken relationships? Why do we have tension among family members and friends? What is wrong? Because this is not the picture. The picture that we experience is not the picture that is given in Scripture at the end of creation with day seven, God resting. If that is the ideal and that is the standard, why don't we experience that? Why don't I have that? Here is the answer, brothers and sisters. Mankind, Adam and Eve, and through their sin, we all sinned as well, but through mankind's decision that we could achieve rest apart from God, as Adam and Eve did, they went outside of trusting and believing God, thinking that there was something more that they needed to achieve, something more that could give them rest, something more that they could do that would satisfy their souls. When they went outside of God's boundaries and disobeyed him, we spun the world into unrest. Rest only takes place with God through trusting in him. Do we see here at the opening of Genesis chapter 2 that this is God's rest? He rested, and he offers this rest to his creation as they trust in him. Rest can only be found with God in all things that we do through trust in him and him alone. Adam and Eve stepped outside of that trust. They wanted to go it on their own. They lost the rest, and now we all feel the effects of a fallen, sinful humanity that rebelled against a restful God. And now we experience the unrest in our world today. Rest is not just about merely vacation or stopping work. It's about trusting God's care and enjoying all that he has given to us with him as our maker and savior. So we say, well, what now? We see the perfect, beautiful standard of rest. We experience the marred, broken, fallen standard of unrest. Did God just leave us here? Is this life just all a random game where we make up our rules and die without purpose? Or has God done something more? Oh, brothers and sisters, we go back to Scripture and we find that even though God made it perfect and holy and set it aside, even though our sin marred it and has given us a state of unrest, God has promised a new act of creation, a new act of his work, where we can once again trust in him and be returned to that state of rest through Jesus Christ. Let's look at our third and final point this morning. This comes from Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, we jump to the New Testament. We jump to the time of Jesus Christ. A lot has gone on in between Adam and Eve's sin, falling into unrest, God giving Israel this Sabbath day that they were supposed to commemorate his rest. They didn't take it by faith. They didn't take it in trust. They saw it as just the ceasing of something. They saw Sabbath rest for their hearts as something they could manufacture. Jesus comes on the scene and he tells them, you will find rest. Rest will come to your souls if you will but believe in me. And so we find in this third point, God offers a new promise of rest to all who trust in Jesus Christ. Look with me at Hebrews 4. We'll read three verses here. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed entered that rest. Rest comes by trust. The Sabbath was to be taken in trust, a trusting that God could take care of the Jewish person by only working 6 days a week and leaving the seventh up to him and trusting the Lord when the rest of the pagan world worked 7 days and never paid honor and trust to the living God. It was always a matter of trust. God commanded the Israelites to observe this day of rest, but they missed the point. They thought that inactivity would give them rest. They built up all kinds of structures and excessive rules for inactivity. All the while, they missed the point that rest comes through trust. They constantly fought with Jesus about this when he was on this earth. But we find in Hebrews chapter 4, God tells us what is obvious. We are outside of this rest now. Our sin has put us outside of this rest. And so God says, therefore, while the promise of still entering into those of you who are on the outside of the rest of God, the rest that comes from God, don't fail to miss it. It comes by faith. It comes by letting God do the work, and we trust him in that work. We enter into relationship with him by faith, and our souls find deep, abiding rest forevermore. Hebrews warns us, don't fail in our achieving of rest. It's by faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. He is the rest for your weary soul. Brothers and sisters, the unrest that we feel in this life, it cannot be finally and fully achieved by a vacation. It cannot be finally and fully achieved by retirement. It cannot be finally and fully achieved by a change of vocation. It can only be finally and fully achieved by Jesus Christ giving rest to your souls. He makes us a new creation on the inside. He gives us rest with God in fellowship, in relationship, and in all of life's work. He puts our souls at rest. And one day our bodies will be at rest as well. Genesis chapter 1, God did the work of creation. We enter his rest by trust. Hebrews 4, God did the work of salvation. We enter that rest by trust. Now, let me just close with this question. How about you today? Do you long for, or do you resonate with the rest that we found in Genesis chapter 2? Isn't there something in all of our souls that resonates with this peaceful, harmonious life where there's no decay, no death, no sorrow, no tears? Isn't there something that resonates within us as we see that, as it is described in Genesis 2? Know this, that our sin has disrupted that rest. It is broken. We are outside of that rest apart from Jesus Christ. But he is the true Sabbath. Jesus Christ offers true rest to be restored through trusting and following him. He does the work of salvation to give us rest for our weary souls. You know, we're getting pretty close to Thanksgiving time. I don't know about you, but Thanksgiving gives some much needed rest to my soul. There is something about a table full of warm food, the fellowship of family and friends, that just gives us a lightening of heart and rest there. But you know, as you go to Thanksgiving meal, as you go to Thanksgiving with time with family or friends, there's a number of different ways that you can go to Thanksgiving table. You could pay to have it all catered, spend money and have it all done, and you just show up. Of course, that would come out of your pocket. Maybe as often the case, there's another way to come to Thanksgiving, and that is that everybody pitches in a little bit. Everyone offers a dish and brings it along, and so it's a potluck gathering together, and everybody kind of throws in for one big meal. Or consider this scenario for Thanksgiving. You are given an open invitation. Don't bring a thing. Come, sit down at the most luxurious table of food with the greatest of fellowship and have your heart warmed and rested in this meal. Brothers and sisters, when God calls us to rest, this is what he says. I have made for you a banquet table of fellowship with me. Bring nothing, but come through the door of Jesus Christ. His death on the cross has paid the price for you. If you will but believe and trust in him, come through the door of Jesus Christ. Sit down at the table. Have a meal to the full. And have fellowship so that your souls can be rested forevermore. This is the rest he offers us. It's sweet. It's free. It's by grace if we will but trust in him. And it is for all time. The sun never sets on the rest that God gives us. Let's close our time in prayer today. Oh, Father in heaven, I pray that like salt, this message would whet the appetites of any who are here today who have not found rest in you. Father, might they call out to you and come by the door of Jesus Christ, the one who offers free, abiding rest for our souls, forgiveness of all of our sins, the debt paid in full, and fellowship with you to sit at the table forevermore. Lord, for those of us who are Christians, we need this reminder today to keep coming back to the one who gives us rest, to keep dining at the table, to keep loving you as our God and finding our enjoyment in you through Jesus Christ, the one who has done the work, through faith, the one by which we enjoy all of these blessings. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Press it into our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.